7500-5266. David was mentioning the subscription to Yes Magazine.
Yes.
It is a wonderful magazine that is, in fact, you know the world's on fire. You know, because you listen to the KBOO News. We don't sugarcoat things, right? And Yes Magazine actually takes those stories and looks for people who are making a positive impact in their communities, who are actually changing the world in their own backyards.
Like the man we just heard on Jesse Hogan out of Seattle. As a former teacher, I'm all behind those teachers. 877-500-5266.
Be a change agent. Yes, it's about making a positive impact on your community. It's about strengthening your community. And you can do it right now simply by calling 877-500-5266.
Sing it, Ani. All right. And you are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. Coming up next, we've got Bren Roses, Feminist News and Public Affairs. Bren Roses is going to continue the conversation of In Our Lifetime, Ending White Supremacy and Racial Oppression. So stay tuned for that. But first, we have some important announcements. The first important announcement is of a missing person. His name is Sean Matlock. His friends and family put together a website, findsean.org, where you can see his picture and send any information and also get involved in the search. Sean has not been seen or heard from since Thursday, September 3rd, 2015. His family is very worried because this is not normal behavior for Sean. All right, stay tuned.
Thank you to the restaurants that have provided food for our volunteers today. Bar Carlo, located at 6433 Southeast Foster, for providing breakfast, serving Mexican and American brunch, lunch and dinner fare, plus cocktails. Civilia Thai, located at 4806 Southeast Stark, for providing lunch, serving Thai cuisine and open every day from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Di Nicola's, located at 3520 Southeast Powell, for providing dinner. Serving Italian fare since 1977, including spaghetti and meatballs, vegetarian and gluten-free options.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the inaugural Portland Youth Poet Laureate Project. On Monday, September 28th at 7 p.m., 12 of Portland's poetry ambassadors will compete to become the Portland Youth Poet Laureate. The event will take place in the Artist Repertory Theater, 1515 Southwest Morrison in Portland. Again, that's Portland Youth Poet Laureate Project, a program of Spit Right, Monday, September 28th at 7 p.m. at the Artist Repertory Theater, 1515 Southwest Morrison in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Yeah. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Aladdin Theater, presenting jazz singer-songwriter Madeline Peyrou, with Stephanie Schneiderman performing Wednesday, September 23rd. Tickets and information for Madeline Peyrou's performance are available at aladdin-theater.com. And this KBOO program has also been made possible from a grant from People's Food Co-op, a community-owned, values-driven cooperative striving to provide access to whole foods customers can trust. People's features farm direct organic produce, bulk foods, a weekly year-round farmers market, and everyone is welcome. Located on Southeast 21st and Tibbet Street between Division and Powell. More information at peoples.coop.
We'll be right back. at the dawn of the day. All the darkened kitchens, the mill of gray, are touched by the radiance that the sun discloses. Oh, hear the people singing bread and roses.
Welcome to Bread and Roses, Feminist News and Public Affairs. Bread and Roses is a collective of women identified radio activists. We give voice to those working for social justice and equity globally and locally, and we strive to challenge systems of oppression. All this, and we have fun. By liking our page, you can get updates and see behind-the-scenes photos. We are also on the web at www.kabu.fm/breadandroses. If you are interested in joining the collective, everyone is welcome, no experience necessary. So to host, produce, or engineer with us, contact KBOO's volunteer manager at volunteer@kboo.org. My name is Jordan Michelle, and I will be one of your hosts this evening, along with Dell.
Hello, everyone.
And Pamela.
Hi.
And we will also have Mary as who is also a part of our Bread and Roses collective. Tonight on Bread and Roses, we are going to have a special kitchen table conversation with several of our collective members about working to end white supremacy and racial oppression. If you have been listening throughout the day, KBOO has been broadcasting audios on the topic and has shared different perspectives of the history of white supremacy locally and nationally. We, as a Bread and Roses collective, will also share our thoughts on this topic with open and honest conversation about our history, our personal experiences, the role of feminism in ending racial oppression, and the work we have to ignite in order to see change.
All right. That's an ambitious conversation, Jordan and Pamela, and Mary Pulsway will join us in a minute. And this is a special conversation. It's been a special day at KBOO because we are in our membership drive, and we are calling on you, listener, who spend hours listening to us, who really are devoted to listening to the voices that we bring through the airwaves, to pick up the phone this evening and make your pledge, make your contribution to your community radio station. The number to call is 877-500-5266. You can also go online at kboo.fm and click on the donate button. The Bread and Roses Collective has been around for 30 years, and it's an incredible opportunity. It's been an incredible opportunity for women and women-identify folks to come here and share their voice, their perspective. We are community members just like you, which is why Mary created this kitchen table conversation concept, so that you could get to know us more, and you could get to know us as individuals, as community members. These are the voices that KBOO brings you. Community radio, we are the community. We make the content, and we now need your support so that we can keep the station going. 83% of everything it takes to run this station comes from you, the listener, which really means that we collectively own this station. We own this project together, and now it's the time for you to join and be in this community with us. Again, 877-500-5266 is the number to call, or kboo.fm.
Alrighty, Dale, thank you. So we want to start off our conversation about just our general experiences dealing with white supremacy, or just your own personal involvement with racism, you know. Did any of you guys want to start off that conversation?
I will let Pamela start.
It's like we have been around each other enough that Dell can read my mind. because I said, I'm looking at this. May I just start to, let's do the appetizer for this. Racism tends to scare people a lot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're not ready to digest that. It's about, okay, well, let's slow it down. Wait. How about we talk about colorblindness? Because something that, just to get right to the point, that I only really more often hear white people say is that they don't see race.
Yeah,
I don't see color.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
it's
a
like,
great
great.
Place to start.
Mm-hmm. It's like, great. You don't see me. You do not see other people. And if our radio listeners cannot tell immediately, because I am just a disembodied voice. Mm-hmm. I am a woman of color, and I'm Filipino-American. And it's just not a privilege that I have to ignore race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think that when I first encountered, so I'm a white woman and I come from Europe, I come from France. And so when I first heard that concept of colorblindness, you know, I was like, okay, that's an interesting concept. And unfortunately, it's a concept that is so damaging. Mm-hmm. Because as you say, Pamela, it just means instead of acknowledging that people have a color, have a race, and that in this country, that color and that race has had a history of discrimination and segregation and mm-hmm. oppression that is really heavy. Mm-hmm. Then instead, you're faced with, you know, I don't see your color. I just see you as a human being, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess that's mm-hmm. the argument here. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. like I'm not judging you based on the color of your skin. I'm just mm-hmm. judging you who you are as an individual, which I believe is a great thing to do. But mm-hmm. at the same time, when you don't acknowledge the race, then unfortunately, there is the whole racism. And the whole current situation that's not acknowledged, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, in theory, would love to be able to just be, you know, all frolicking in the field right. and holding hands
like a tampon right. commercial,
pretty much, you know, and all getting along. Mm-hmm. And you know, the color of his skin does not matter, but it does matter. Mm-hmm. It does matter, and that's not the only thing that matters in this country. But that's one of the things that really matters the most in how people are treated.
Mm-hmm. I think that there are definitely people say that and mean different things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so one can say, oh, I don't see color because I'm anti-racist and I want all of us to be equal. But then there's other people who say, oh, I don't see color. You should be treated just like I should be. Mm-hmm. And you know, what's the term? You know, when you get into school and affirmative action, there yeah. we go. Affirmative action yes. shouldn't exist, you know. Mm. So things like that. But, you know, for me, being African American, you look at me and you can't avoid not seeing color, you know. you just can't avoid it. And it is a factor to my being. Mm. And I take offense to that you don't see color, you know, because like what you guys have already mm-hmm. explained, it's very sensitive and it's no avoiding. You have to acknowledge that and respect that.
So I just need to even ask if you feel like this has happened too, that when someone says that, either in person or most often online,
mm-hmm.
That's the shutdown button. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like, we don't need to talk about race
so
right
true.
Now.
Yeah. So true.
And then the jump after that is, we don't need to talk about race, and we definitely do not need to talk about that I'm white.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And so, because then that's going to be too close to stuff I'm not comfortable with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then what I feel like is that I'm pushing.
Right.
So I have to kind of insist mm-hmm. that we talk about something, and although an Asian female like me is not necessarily being subjected to the same stereotype
mm-hmm.
as an angry Black woman,
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
myth, you know, the stereotype, I don't think that I don't want to be angry, frankly. Like,
right.
whether or not it's a stereotype, I just
right.
don't want to be angry all the time when I'm just standing at, you know, in line at Trader Joe's. I don't want to do this.
Right.
Yeah. don't want to have to, which is, I believe, why the conversation is so important that we are having it today at KBOO, also because our community of Portland is a majority white. And I think that it's important that people hear that, that unfortunately, people of color end up having to be the educators of all of us out there in the world. And it has a really deep impact on you, right? As you say, I feel like I'm angry everywhere, always kind of like, you know, approaching every situation from like, okay, am I being treated this way because, you know, I'm a person of color or not? And that is a state of mind that nobody should be in. And you're right. Mm-hmm. Whenever people say, well, I don't see color, then yeah, it's shutting down your experience. Mm-hmm. It's denying you your experience and your history. Yeah. And the fact that that you know for a fact that people see your color all the time. Mm-hmm. And that it has such a heavy impact. On everything around us, from politics to policies to relationships to what's in the media and to justice and incarceration. It really has such an impact on all of it. And yeah, I do believe that that white folks, you know, use this as a cop out because it is uncomfortable to have to think of the fact that, yeah, affirmative action is actually something that needs to exist. Mm-hmm. And we need to have reparations of some kind, and yes, we all have to give a little bit, you know.
Right I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this, but like subconsciously in my mind I'm always paying attention to certain things, like when I'm out in public and I am around a large population of white people. And you know, I've dealt with a lot of racism in my life, so it's kind of unfortunate that I think about this, but you know, for example, when people were passing out flyers, you know, just, or when you walk into a store, like one time I walked into a grocery store and this man was passing out flyers and was talking about what he was doing, and you know, someone would just walk by, take a flyer and go about their day, but there was a white woman that walked in front of me, and then there was a younger white man walked behind her, he passed a flyer out to them, and then when I followed, he didn't even acknowledge me, he didn't give me a flyer, he didn't look at me, anything like that. And I walked by him and just automatically I thought of that, and I paused and I turned around and I waited for the next person to walk by, and he handed them a flyer.
And they were white.
And it's just like, wow, you know. And a lot of white people always think that we pull the race card on purpose, just all the time, you know. Oh, they shouldn't go that far. It's not that serious. But no, like, you know, I'm in the grocery store getting my groceries like everyone else. How come you didn't offer me the flyer? You know, and I could have walked up to him and asked him, but I didn't have to. Yeah.
You know, I want to make like a ton of jokes. Like, no, it was a casting notice for the next season of Portlandia. So no, you're not going to be in it. Clearly, they're not going to ask you. Come on.
Oh
no.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
I want to. And this just points out that for people of color, we need a release. We need this. I have made a million faces, and it's only like what, 6, 7 to
Yes, you have made a million faces.
So many faces. This is why I do radio. Because this face is already unbotoxable. This is not gonna, you know, Nicole Kidman along in any kind of way. It is impossible. There's no way. Because I thought about it, and just like, you know what was it? It's just, you know, you don't need a hair salon gift card. Like, what could possibly be the thing that he was like, she don't need that.
Right.
Yeah, and that feeling of being invisible, because you said not only did he not give you a flyer, but there was not even an eye contact or a nod of just, hey, I acknowledge you, and maybe you don't want that flyer, that's why I'm not giving it to you or something. Yeah. And for me, that is very difficult. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I have been, trying to support the white people in my life to understand, which is when a person of color tells you, like, I feel that, you know, I was mistreated because of my race, mm-hmm. that you should never say, no, you are exaggerating. If you are mm-hmm. a white person and mm-hmm. a person of color tells you about their experience
right.
Of racism, validating that is the thing that you should do.
Yep.
And thinking about it later, mm-hmm. thinking about it, like, imagine, because for me, I think what is so difficult is, you know, all this time that you spend worrying about it, you could mm-hmm. be spending doing something else.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And yet, like, I just don't understand why we haven't cloned you yet, though, because...
It's unethical.
Sheep? We're working on sheep? Never mind. Because, yes, you said earlier about us feeling like we have to educate people, mm-hmm. but it's like, if we don't, who's going to do it? Mm-hmm. You know? Like, it's a great thing when here and there... some of my friends actually earn their white ally badge mm-hmm. and it's just mm-hmm. like checked it, receipts here, mm-hmm. I did it, but when it's on a daily basis, mm-hmm. when it's on a, you just look at the in the day, all these different ways that you are not centered, mm-hmm. you know, that your voice, your story, your face even.
Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, the piece in my opinion that white people struggle. I think, like, people who want to be ally believe that, yeah, it's like a badge also that you get one time and that's it, you right. get it for the rest of your life, but it's not. To be an ally, I mean, it's like a verb, you mm-hmm. know, you're like always practicing mm-hmm. to be in that place. And actually, I want to say that KBOO is such an amazing place that we actually have a conversation that happens once a month among volunteers, KBOO volunteers that I welcome once a month, and we have a conversation about how to build our ally skills. Mm-hmm. And that is a group that is very important to me because I get to also be a role model, right? So I'm not cloning myself, but I'm hoping to support with the education piece. And so this is what we do here at KBOO Community Radio. This is those conversations that we are having tonight on Bread and Roses. It's the kind of conversation that we know you care about, the listener, because we are just people like you that are doing radio, and we have our own opinions and experiences, and they're probably echoing some of the things that you feel out there. Definitely very different from what you see in the mainstream media. So if you love what you are listening to, please give us a call now. The number to call to pledge your support to KBOO Community Radio is 877-500-5266. Please donate maybe an hour wage, whatever it is that you make an hour, donate this to KBOO once a month. That would really support us. Again, as I said earlier, 83% of everything it takes to run the station comes from you, the listener. In my opinion, I would really love if we could get to that 100%, because once we are at that 100%, we are truly, fully independent and sovereign. We own this place collectively, and this is how we support the kind of conversation we are bringing you tonight on the Bread and Resist Collective. Again, 877-500-5266 is the number to call. We have volunteers waiting for you to pick up the phone and dial those numbers, and they will support you in finding out what is the best way for you to donate. Would you like to just give a big sum tonight? Maybe $120. Maybe you have $1,000 that you would like to donate. Or would you be interested in donating maybe $5 every month? Maybe it's like a coffee drink that you give up every month and donate to KBOO. Well, our volunteers can support you with that. So call 877-500-5266. If you would like, you can can also go online to kboo.fm and make your donation there. It would be awesome. Pamela, would you share with us why you are a community radio volunteer and activist?
The funniest, I guess, well, it's not funny, like my good jokes, but you would expect me to say that I became a radio activist so that I could tell my story. Mm-hmm. And it's actually more true that I am trying to give voice to others. Mm-hmm. That I think we oftentimes hear about marginalized communities and marginalized voices, but I have never been in one space. One of the best things about I moved to Portland a little over a year ago. The most diverse place in all of Portland is right here on 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. Yes. And coming through here last year, I felt that I had gotten a little bit of a reprieve from what I used to think of as the 85% Caucasian chokehold that I felt I was experiencing. And in that way, I try to, you know, let people know that they can come to KBOO, yeah, not just listen, but really take advantage of the community training programs. Mm-hmm. And it's more important to me not to hear myself talk, though I clearly do that, but that, you know, other people are able to come on. Definitely queer, trans, mm-hmm, people of color, QDPOC have definitely been some of the at least friends of mine that, mm-hmm, have been trying to see how they can share their stories. I mean, it's just, yeah, you can pick, you know, and there's just an opportunity for everybody.
Well, 877-500-5266 is the number to call. We are joined by the amazing Mary Postlewaite on the phone. Hi, Mary. Hello.
Hi, Mary.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm good.
Wonderful. Well, we wanted to ask you, Mary, if you wanted to go ahead and share some of your experiences with racial oppression. You've mentioned to us just as a collective that your black son, you know, definitely endures a lot, you know, especially with him being half, so half black and white. So do you want to go ahead and share your story?
Sure. I have two sons who are, their father is African American and I am to the eye white, but what most people don't realize is that I'm of mixed blood also. Mm-hmm. However, my youngest son, Elijah, I'll give you a for instance. In second grade, he was being transferred into another class. And so I went to go to his class and get his stuff out of his desk. And I found that the teacher had taken his desk and put it in the back of the room where his back was facing the class, and it was behind a partition with empty boxes and stuff, kind of like he was tucked in the corner in the closet, and I was really upset. I couldn't believe that they had segregated my son like that. That, mm-hmm, just really irritated me. It was really bothersome for me. And, you know, I've had a few incidences where my son has been in trouble for things that kids have done, but he was like the easy way out, mm-hmm, supposedly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, he's a young black man. Mm-hmm. He gets harassed. You know, he's had people call the police on him for things he didn't do. Mm-hmm. And I know he didn't do because he either wasn't there or I was there. So, I've experienced that. I've even experienced it with my other son when he was like two. In restaurants where people are like, oh my God, you know, you're a white woman, you have black kids, what? I'm like, well, you know, I don't look at it like that. I look at it as, you know, I have children. I don't look at them really. I teach them because I have to teach my son about being a young black man. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't have to teach my son about being a young black man only.
Yeah. Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I shouldn't have to warn him about being a young black man and walking up and down the street.
Right.
Like he's different from somebody else. But reality is that I do.
Right.
And they harass me for it too. You know, to them, well, in my own words, I'm a race traitor.
Yeah.
You know, so I get the harassment too.
Right.
But we move beyond all that. You know? Yeah.
And what's so sad also is that he cannot really experience life like he would. Also, because right. if he makes any mistake, potentially it could be fatal.
Absolutely. Not to mention, I mean, even right down to his schooling. You know, here I was just able to enroll my son fully in school. Today is when we got his schedule. I can't figure out why it is that everybody is just so scared or mm-hmm. so worried about my son. And for those who don't know, my son is 13 years old and he's 6'1".
Mm-hmm.
And so he's a large boy on top of being an African-American, you know. So now he's got that element of intimidation. And so people look at him and they're like, you know, you did it or you got to do this or you have to do that. So he's not been able to even go to school.
Right.
And I'm like, really? I mean, if you guys don't want him in the school, then that's what you need to say.
Yeah.
So that I can take further precautions and take this another step further. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, so.
Yeah, your situation, we can go into this in a whole nother direction, you know, just because mixed kids are in a place where they're not fully accepted by either group sometimes.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's either you're not fully black or you're not fully white. But
right.
in society,
right.
if you have a teaspoon,
right. oh, yeah.
you are, you know.
For
and
sure.
We get judged all the time. I've seen my son at the ripe age of 13 years old be judged by grown people,
mm-hmm.
by officials, you know, management. I've seen my son get discriminated against a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And other people around here, and they don't know their rights,
yeah.
so I fight for them.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So I fight for them.
Yeah, so. Actually, that's what I was going to ask Mary, because, you know, what are some of the things that you tell white people in particular, you know, who you believe are racist or miseducated, whatever you want to say? What are some of the strategies that you use to support people understanding the situation?
You know, for me, it's been a lifelong lesson. And my father had apparently some kind of incident back in his past or whatever, and now he's scorned. So he was against me also when it came to the fact that I had biracial children and they're actually black. They're not, you know, light or whatever. They're black. Mm-hmm. My boys are black, period. You can't say anything about it that's what they look like. They don't even look like they're white.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a zero tolerance, zero, because, and you know, I have a unique ability to be able to look through everybody's eyes in a situation, but when it comes to those eyes, I'm blind.
Yeah,
I can't see through them. I just can't. I don't get it. I have zero tolerance. My children are smart. They're great in their schools. Their community loves them. They're active in the church. They're volunteers. They're community coordinators. They've got friends, family. They're like any other person in the world. Why does it make a difference that my son's skin is darker?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what the white people do to get a tan. They darken their skin. Right? Am I wrong?
No, actually, they
Every
love doing that.
Oh, I need a tan. I'm too pale.
Right.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I think this is really educational for lots of our listeners who may have biracial children as well, who can,
Absolutely.
Who, you know, a lot of black folks, we say, you know, white people will never, ever truly understand what racial oppression feels like, even if they are involved in black communities or any minority community. They won't understand it. No matter how much you educate yourself, you mm-hmm. have not been a victim of it personally, you know, but for someone who has children and you know, you are experiencing as a parent, you know, dealing with facilitators at school, coming home and you getting that
right.
call, you know, you see it in a whole nother lens, you know, because it's affecting your kids, which means it's affecting you. So yeah, I'm really happy that we're having this conversation and that listeners who have this personal experience we understand, and you know, it is important to educate yourself and to educate your child about their history, not to avoid it, you know, because you are who you are.
That goes for everybody.
Right.
You know, any child. Mm-hmm. Our children, they're our future. Right. My son and my daughters are our future presidents and doctors and mm-hmm. lawyers and people who we're going to depend on when we become older.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't educate them, not make them look at people differently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't look at people because that person is black or because that person is Mexican. Look at people as people.
Mm-hmm.
That's my neighbor, and she needs some help right now.
Right.
You know, this is my neighbor over here. They've got four kids, two girls and two boys. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. not, I don't want to hear, oh, well, they over there got two boys and two girls, and two of them are black and two of them are Mexican.
Yeah.
So what? Right. I don't care.
They're up to no good. Don't help them. You know, like all kind of stuff.
Right. I don't want to hear that. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to educate the people who are still in that frame, frame of thinking. It's 2015, people. It's not like that anymore. You know, even on resumes, what's your race? Other. There's other, or mulatto, or mixed, or mark more than one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's people are people, and let's stop looking at people as somebody who's black or somebody who's Mexican. My son is just as productive in society as any white person could be.
Mm-hmm.
I can jump on both sides of the line.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I could be white because I look white. I got blue eyes and fair skin. But if you know me, then you know that I'm not all white.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that I have that lens also.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And when people find that out, I've lost friends over that. Well, they weren't friends to begin with if I lost them, right?
Pamela, do you have a question or reaction for Mary?
I wanted to ask... if you think that there has been any time that you being white and being present has ever protected your kids, like if you being there on the scene or something and being able to say, no, that's my baby.
Right, I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm going to say yes because of this. When people look at me, when they see my son and he's in trouble and then here I come and they see me, for them, it's, okay, she's white, so it's different. They come at me as a different child.
Mm-hmm. That's what I guessed.
For me, but for me, I come at them with nothing about a racial thing until they try to tell me that my son's a young black man. Really? I never knew. You know what I'm saying? I mean, come on now. Yeah, so I come at them with the lens of, you know, just people, what happened, who did what.
Mm-hmm.
You come at me with the lens, oh.
Yeah.
Okay, well, ma'am, your son, you know, he's over here causing problems. He stepped on that spider and threw a piece of paper on the ground. Maybe not that small, but yeah, that small.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So,
And I think that's what's so interesting, because we started the conversation around colorblindness, right? So there is both, you know, the need for moving forward and treating people, especially our youth, equally, but yet it's so ingrained in people's mind that we're not there yet. We're not at that place where most people can feel comfortable with that.
And with all of that being said, I also have to say there's been a times, and I can just about say anybody's life, where they've looked at somebody and made a comment or thought something and their race came into play in their mind.
Yeah.
And that happens. But that doesn't mean you're a racist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That just means that you're looking at the whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, society today is still trying to oppress those of color.
Yeah.
Native, you know, anything other than white, really, you know, and even some white people, but they're trying to oppress them still in 2015. Really, you guys? Mm-hmm. We're dying here. The world is going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
We're having fires and earthquakes and all of that other extracurricular Mother Nature stuff, and you're worried about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you're worried that my son is black?
Right.
Not that he's a teenage boy learning and making mistakes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's bothersome to me.
Yeah.
It's a very heated topic for me.
Oh, no, it really is. And I know, Mary, you're going to have to go very soon.
I am.
Yeah. So I want to thank you so much for taking the time to joining the conversation tonight and for sharing a little bit of your perspective.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Mary Postlewaite, the creator of the Kitchen Table Conversations.
Yeah.
We decided to bring the conversation to you tonight, cable listeners, because all day KBOO has prioritized airtime so we can have this very hard conversation about making this happen in our lifetime, working to end white supremacy and racial oppression. What a huge task. And yet, at the same time, unless we undertake this task, we are never going to be able to get anywhere. And furthermore, it's time to end. It's time to end the pain and the suffering that comes from when I listen to the testimony of Jordan and Pamela and Mary. It's been enough. It's been enough suffering. And it is up to all of us to pick up the work that there is to do. And in the next part of this conversation, we'll talk about some strategies, some of the things that we have to do. In the meantime, please, listener, if you are enjoying the conversation, if you believe it is meaningful that KBOO is devoted a day to this topic, even though the conversation is happening on KBOO all the time, but this is the time we've decided to allot to deep reflection, to listening to the voices of people of color who are, you know, working as hard as they can to help us white people understand what the reality is through their eyes. Let's take the time to not just listen, but also be active, educate each other, especially white people educating other white people by what you have understood. The number to call to pledge your support to KBOO is 877-500-5266. What an amazing community space. What an amazing, Pamela shared with us earlier, you know, what a relief it was to walk into KBOO and to not feel that this was a white-only space, that this was not a white mainstream space. This is the alternative space here in the community. This is a place where everybody is welcome, especially if your ideas are, you know, to the left over here. Join us in this community experiment. And one of the ways that you can join is by sharing a little bit of your financial wealth with us here at KBOO. 83% of everything it takes to run this station comes from you, dear listener. I would love if we could challenge ourselves to become more and more self-sustaining. You make the community radio station happen. We make the community radio station happen. This is a community experiment. Please give us a call, 877-500-5266. Jordan, what should we talk about next?
Yes. I kind of want to go off of what Mary was talking about as far as the school system. What ways do we see white supremacy in schools? And technically, yeah. So let's make it more specific. So, Pamela, did you want to start off?
I did my eye thing. No.
Faces.
No, this is one of the reasons I told somebody I could never be on a TV talk show. I just, no. So some of the work that I had done, I very rarely, and this was pointed out to me, I very rarely talk about, I think, my personal life or personal connections or something when I'm on Bread and Roses, even though a lot of the topics are deeply meaningful to me. Mm-hmm. And part of that is like my work in education. So that's work that I have either been paid for or not paid for since I've been here in Portland. And when I'm not paid for it, it's often to advocate for my son. I'm a single mom of an autistic boy, 11 years old, and it's something that I don't usually talk about, even when I had a roundtable of autistic self-advocates on mm-hmm. Bread and Roses. I didn't know what line to talk about, you know, about myself. And I think it, especially in this space for kitchen table conversations mm-hmm. that's kind of been set up, that it gets a little bit more personal. Mm-hmm. I can at least talk about where I've seen the school to prison pipeline, like with my own eyes, with just the research and conversations that I've had with parents that I've talked to in Portland Public Schools and some of the other school districts where a lot of other special needs families and autistic families kind of try to connect with each other to share information. And what's really hard, at least speaking to that, is that people just take it for granted that African-American students, especially boys, are disciplined at such a higher disproportionate rate. Yes. I've said this so many times in yeah. this other job I had, mm-hmm. Disproportionate disciplining of students mm-hmm. of color in Portland Public Schools, to the point that there was a fine, almost $1 million, that Portland Public Schools had to pay. And that was, let's just call it what it is. It was a punishment, mm-hmm. you know, Oregon Department of Education. Mm-hmm. All of this was proven eventually. Mm-hmm. They are talking right now about, this is going on everywhere. This mm-hmm. is going on in Seattle. This mm-hmm. is yeah. definitely going on in New York. Mm-hmm. And for the same infractions, for the same thing of, what did you bring your cell phone to school, mm-hmm. okay, you know,
right.
are you did you not clean up after yourself?
Yeah.
There were different stories of some schools that punish because it was a school that had more students of color, so they would punish people with, let's say, cleaning up after mm-hmm. in the school. Hmm. And so there's those kinds of things that happened, and I've had it's both an honor to bear witness, but it's very hard to see hope mm-hmm. in changing it. Not even within my lifetime, but goodness, just while my son is in school, please.
Right.
What am I gonna do to make sure that, I'll give an example, that when I go to the PTA meeting, that I'm going to represent, that I am going to point it out as much as, you know, people may not see other parents of color, that it's not from lack of caring about their students. I'm pointing out that, you know, there's a lot of Vietnamese parents in my son's school. And even though they're not there in the PTA meeting, yeah, sure, I would like to bring that, you know, can we please translate this? Can whatever you just said of the budget, these things, all of these things that you just handed to me, can this be translated in the different languages mm-hmm. available? And I found it interesting that it was another Asian parent who said, well, the Vietnamese moms don't come here and they don't come to, you know, our events or anything. And I said, well, that's going to change while I'm here mm-hmm. because I'm going to actually try to get people to translate for them. Mm-hmm. It could be that they're not coming because you're not letting them know there's a meeting.
Right.
But they
right.
don't understand when you let them know.
Right.
Yeah. You don't understand when they let them know. Yeah. Very sweet mom of a classmate of my son's. I'm sorry, I think she likes me. She smiles. Mm-hmm. I've known her from when I was working on different projects, and I have been searching all, I couldn't do it in the summer because the one person that would have in the school translated is a staff member mm-hmm. and she wasn't there in the summer. Mm-hmm. So she couldn't interpret for us. And there was no way for me to kind of share my resources, what I knew. Mm-hmm. And then what happens? Then you have parents of color that are not getting access to resources to make yeah. sure that their kids are not suspended, that they're not pushed out of school. Mm-hmm. And that's a big thing here in Portland. They did a push right now to get some of the kids who were pushed out, try to come back in by knocking on doors.
great. Mm-hmm. You just knocked on like 200 doors. Did you get anybody to come back mm-hmm. after you've already kicked them out or suspended them? And it's already proven that when you do that one step, mm-hmm. they are that much closer to staying out of school, not coming back, not then graduating, then not going to college, and then you're getting them that much closer along in this school to prison pipeline.
Yeah, mm-hmm. to potentially incarceration.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at KABU here, we are so lucky because we have a show called Prison Pipeline, and one of the hosts, Carlos Chavez, is supporting actually with youth at McLaren. And so he is bringing radio journalism through KABU to McLaren.
I love it.
Yeah, and I've been very lucky to be able to accompany Carlos a few times in McLaren. And last membership drive, actually, the youth did a special for KABU wherever they talked about exactly the school to prison pipeline. They talked about their own experiences in school and what led them and how it impacted them being in prison then. And one of the things that they acknowledged was exactly what you pointed out, Pamela. This is parents need to be involved. If the parents are not involved, then there is a problem. If the school is not doing everything that they can to reach out to the parents, if the school is too, mainstream centric as far as the culture and just expecting that everybody is just going to receive the flyer, read the flyer, mm-hmm. put it on their calendar and show up. This is not culturally how a lot of people function. Mm-hmm. You cannot just assume. And I think that the same things that the students get in trouble for, then the parents get in trouble for, and then the parents that are labeled as not caring for their children or not valuing their children's education. And that is hugely problematic, and it's happening all over the schools of this state
mm-hmm.
and of this city especially.
Yeah, I think it's really important that schools start diversifying their teachers as well, because mm-hmm, I've mm-hmm. worked in schools where it's been an all-white administration, mm-hmm. staff, teachers, mm-hmm. everyone, and then their student population is mostly Black and Hispanic,
yeah.
you know, and I actually work at a school where they speak six different languages, like the population there, and it's just like that, you know, that awareness that these teachers need to have about what's going on in their home life, their culture, all that. I don't feel like they're getting properly educated mm-hmm. in order to deal with mm-hmm. certain types of students. Mm-hmm. And their first reaction is as soon as someone's being loud yeah. or something, give yeah. them a referral, kick yeah. them out, go to the office.
And
bye.
You're a bad kid.
You're a bad
person.
Kid. And yeah. that does not make the students feel good at all. Mm-hmm. You know, who knows what they had to go through that day mm-hmm. or, you know, what's going on at home or, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And I feel like educating the staff, training them on, racial oppression and giving them a better understanding and training them on restorative justice techniques, things mm-hmm. like that, where it's more of, let me get to know you. Let me get to mm-hmm. know each of my mm-hmm. students before I just subject them to being, mm-hmm. they're loud, they're Black, they're mm-hmm. loud, they're Mexican, whatever.
And so one thing I'm going to even point it out is that there are only a few schools that can allot the money in their budgets for mm. restorative justice.
Mm.
So you can't even if you wanted it,
mm-hmm.
schools are making their decisions of, I don't even have enough teachers for all of my middle school classes.
Yeah.
So then what happens is then parents pull their kids out and enroll them in different schools. And that definitely happens in a lot of the more gentrifying neighborhoods
mm-hmm.
up by Alberta,
mm-hmm.
that whole area. Eventually, I'm very worried that the Cully neighborhood, the mm-hmm. more that they actually get services that they need, like lights and mm-hmm. sidewalks, mm-hmm. just actual services, that then the next step is that these families of color are going to be pushed out and displaced.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't even get what they've asked for, you know, and then they're not even having those schools in those neighborhoods be these destination schools unless you provide some other added. I think what's hard is not actually naming it for what it is, white supremacy, not mm-hmm. actually naming it the problem is
yeah.
not the racism, it's white supremacy. Mm-hmm. Because if we don't name who is benefiting from this, are these schools, these Title I, mm-hmm. these schools that are fighting for funds, are they trying to get more families of color? No, they want white mm-hmm. families to come mm-hmm. and enroll. Mm-hmm. And then that's when you have these issues where you can offer things that are actually supposed to benefit English language learners, like Mandarin immersion, mm-hmm. for example. You're gonna do that, and yet there are parents that are upset that they didn't get in the lottery. Mm-hmm. And I'm just gonna point it out, they are white, mm-hmm. and they're upset that their white kids are not able to get into the Mandarin part of the program, and now they're stuck at the program for this underperforming school. And oh my gosh, I have it so tough. My kindergartner, oh, why can't I get them to learn Mandarin? This is such a problem for me. Mm-hmm. That was said at a PTA meeting. This is what parents talk about to mm-hmm. each other, but they can't talk about it to white parents mm-hmm. because you don't want to hear it.
Mm.
That's. Yeah. I think that's the hardest part about this, is just naming who is benefiting from yeah. it, mm-hmm. because then somebody gets defensive and says, no, I'm having a problem too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is kind of like the affirmative action thing. Something is being taken away from me, and that is so problematic. And I think that, thank you for naming white supremacy is the problem. This is, the conversation of the day is like, how do we come to for people to see that the system in which we live is actually really trying to push these mainstream Eurocentric ideas, and unless you actually fit culturally this mainstream culture, then you are very much struggling. But the finger is pointed back at you as you are the problem, instead of the system or the school or the way we teach is the problem.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's okay. That's the hardest thing about talking about white privilege, is that then white people feeling like I'm not there to try to vilify them for the system. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll point out something that's if they say something really terrible, yeah, sure, I'll point it out.
Well, you're listening to Bread and Roses, and it is Membership Drive at KBOO. We have been really bringing you an open and honest conversation. This was not scripted. We really try to take the conversation where it needs to go, because we need to have these public conversations where we come together and we are open and honest about where we come from, our experiences, and how we are going to do the work together. This is also community building. We are also coming here together to build this relationship with each other as collective members, and with you, the listener. That's what KBOO Community Radio is about. It's about building community. It's about building awareness. It's about supporting hard, difficult conversations and facilitating those for you, the listeners, on the air. We are all part of all of this together. This is our community. We need to care for it. One of the ways that we care for it is by sharing our financial wealth. I am a KBOO member. Are you? Well, if you're not a KBOO member yet, please call 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. Our listeners, our volunteers are waiting to hear from you. We actually want to say thank you to Kate, who donated this hour. We still would love to raise a couple more $100 in the last 3 minutes of the show. I want to say thank you so much to Jordan, to Pamela, and to Mary Polster-Waite, who are part of this collective. It's hard at times. It's messy. We make mistakes, mm-hmm. and we
are a very diverse collective, and what a great problem to have. How do we make feminism being inclusive? I wish we had had more time to talk right. about the role of feminism in right. ending racial oppression, but it has such a central role in all of this. What's your opinion, Jordan, as we wrap up?
I think that you pretty much nailed it. Just educating each other, white on white interaction, you know, that's where it's going to start, yes. you know, and ending mm-hmm. racism. Honestly, you know, all I can do, all Pamela and I can do, you know, anyone of color can do is just share our stories, and then hope and believe that white people hear us and understand us, and that we aren't just pulling the race card, that we're not just trying to be the victim all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, this is our everyday life 24/7, you know, whether we're present or not. You know, racism is a very sensitive topic, and you know, we want our voices heard and we want to see change. Mm-hmm. Period. You know,
thank you, Pamela. Your last words.
I definitely want to just obviously everything is exact. I'm in agreement that it's not our fault mm-hmm. that there's white supremacy. I think nope. that's just really it. Yeah. There's so if it's not us, then we're not the ones that are necessarily charged to fix it. Yeah. And then it's usually. We are already sharing our stories. We're building mm-hmm. community with each other. Mm-hmm. We're doing that with each other forever. We've mm-hmm. been doing it. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
So, white people, I hope you heard the message. It is our responsibility to end white supremacy. Thank you, all of you, for listening, for donating, for supporting Kibu Community Radio. And next will be Hard Knock Radio. Stay tuned.
The time is 6:59. You are listening to KBOO Portland. Hard Knock Radio is next.
Thank you to the restaurants that have provided food for our volunteers today. Bar Carlo, located at 6433 Southeast Foster, for providing breakfast, serving Mexican and American brunch, lunch and dinner fare, plus cocktails. Civilaya Thai, located at 4806 Southeast Stark, for providing lunch, serving Thai cuisine and open every day from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Di Nicola's, located at 3520 Southeast Powell, for providing dinner, serving Italian fare since 1977, including spaghetti and meatballs, vegetarian and gluten-free options.
Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 12th annual Bike and Movie, Saturday, September 19th at the Hawthorne Hostel, 3130 Southeast Hawthorne in Portland. This year's movie is Survey on Open Space. A pair of urbanites embark on a 400-mile bicycle ride in search of the last